Genesis. I have a different kind of message. I don't even know necessarily all that much application to it. I'm just the messenger, and we'll see if it can help us, though. Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to talk about what is in the name change. What's in the name change? In Genesis chapter 17, we're going to read a lengthy passage here. We're going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 16. It says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram." I read that wrong because it's important in the message. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For the father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make thee make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my counsel between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." There's several things in the covenant with Abraham. One of them is children, and one of them is a land, and one of them is a Messiah in his line, and the Abrahamic covenant with God is a big thing. The news has to do with that every night. When you see that lead story of Israel fighting with the Palestinians, that's Abraham covenant stuff that starts with that. And it says, verse 10, "This is my covenant." Verse 9, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old, 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. And he that is born of thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised for my covenant, shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that my soul shall cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt call her name not Sarai, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give a son of her also. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be mother of nations. Kings of people shall be in her." All right, girls, I'm going to have you guys hop in a chair there. We're going to need you in this. You can sit in a seat there, but I can't have you over there doing that. Everybody's watching you guys. So, all right, let's bow for prayer, and we'll talk out of the Word of God here. Father, thank you for the chance to teach and preach, and thank you for your people that are here. What an honor it is, Lord, to have the Word of God, and what an honor it is to learn. Lord, I don't always know the purpose of your message, but I pray tonight that we would be edified and helped and get the Scripture and see the way you work and see your mind. I just pray your Spirit would speak, and I pray that we would be helped, and I pray that we would go in our spiritual cup, if it's quarter full or half full or three quarters full or nine-tenths full, would be all the way to the brim and overflow, that we'd be ready for this week, that we'd be full of truth and wisdom, to be ready to serve you and get the victory and have a wonderful, godly, productive week in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this, the name is vital in the Bible. We don't think of names as that big of a thing, I think, sometimes to us. People come with weird names, too, now. And there's some weird... I mean, in the 60s, they had weird names for a while. They'd name their kid Moonbeam and, you know, whatever, and weird names. But now we're coming back to weird names, and sometimes we don't even know what a name means. But in the Bible, what your name meant, you were named something specifically to mean something specifically. And it was very important in the Bible. And we see that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in the Bible it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You're saved. And the Bible says in Acts, it says, "There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You're saved through a name. And that name is Jesus, it says. And in Romans 10:9, before 10:13, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus' name was chosen. And let me just keep your finger here in Genesis, but let me just show you out of Matthew. Jesus' name was chosen by God. And the Holy Spirit came down and told Joseph, here's what you're going to name your child. And this is Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So you're going to name him this. No need to buy a baby book. When God tells you to name your kid this, you got the name. And so the name is Jesus, and that and why are you going to name him that? Because he's going to save his people from their sin. Jesus, the word means, is the Lord, Jehovah the Lord saves. And if you believe that the Lord saves and you call upon it, Lord, you're the one who saves, you're saved. Because it's not I'm saving or religion's saving, it's the Lord saves. That's what calling upon the name of the Lord says. And so Jesus' name meant the Lord saves. He came to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him. So the Lord saves. You're saved by calling upon the name of the Lord, and that gives you eternal life. And God says, you name my son this because his name is going to mean this. He'll save his people from their sin. And it's very important you have his name like that and what you are named. And how many of you know what your name means? How many knew at one point and forgot? All right, and how many have no idea? And that's okay, and might want to look it up. Your name could mean he who likes to kick kittens. You don't know what it means, and you want to find out what your name means and see what it means. When I came here, believe it or not, when I came here, I looked very young when I started the church. Every door I knocked on, boy, you look too young to be a pastor. I want to hear that again someday. I hear that all the time. I hear that you look too young to be pastor when I started the church. So I decided my name is Joel by birth. My middle name's Morgan, named after the pirate, actually. It's a family name because Morgan the pirate is one of my descendants. That's my family. I was brought up as Joey. That was me my whole life. And I had some people tell me I took too young to be a pastor. I thought, Pastor Joey sounds too young. And they're going to be, Pastor Joey, how you doing, little boy? And I thought it just wouldn't work. And so I just started going by Joel. And so we changed it to that just the way it sounded. I laughed about 10 years ago. Mark Cuban bought he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks NBA team. Mark Cuban decided that he wanted to do for promotion. He said, anybody who will change their name, if you will change your name for 1 year to Dallas Maverick, I will give you $100,000 and $100,000 for your favorite charity. And he went and had that big promotion, but you had to legally change it for at least 1 year, and he'd give you $100,000. How many of you wish you'd heard of that promotion? You'd have done it. Look at all you people. Don't care about your family name. And $100,000. And what's your favorite charity? And so... how many would, let me say that again. How many would have changed your name for a year for $100,000? Man, look at you. And how many, what if, you're just lucky it wasn't, you know, the LA Galaxy or something. Dallas Mavericks kind of, you know, I could go by Dallas, I guess. But Seattle Seahawk. How many names would you be named Seattle Seahawk for a year? That's less hands. That's not as cool as Dallas Maverick, is it? And they said, if you change your name, we'll do that thing. But in the Bible, name changes were very common. There are a lot of stories in the Bible where God changed people's names. And God said, your name is now this. It was this. We see this twice in this one passage we just read. And we see this in a couple of verses. In verse 5, it says, neither shall thy name be any more Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Okay? Not real complicated. He added an H to his name, pretty much. Okay? In the middle of his name. That's significant. Verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Took off an I in the N and put an H there. And they changed their names and put an H in both their names. And they said, your names are changed now because you're going to be something different. And they're going to be doing that. And we see in the Bible that this is very, very common. And you could probably think of a lot of stories if you think about it. Abraham, the name, his old name, it changed the meaning of his name. The old name was Joey to Joel, if it doesn't mean anything different. But Abraham, Abram to Abraham are, is different. The word Abram is going to be confusing. Abram, the old name, the shorter one, means exalted father. But that could mean someone of stature. That can mean a patriarch, an older, respected man. It means exalted father. Abraham, in the Hebrew, changed the whole name to father of many nations, or one who's going to have many, many descendants, father of many, many descendants, father of many nations, and changed his name from exalted father to father of many nations. To it's a much more fruitful word. One's a dignified name of position. One is a position of you are the one who's going to have a whole bunch of descendants all over the place. You're going to have many, many, many descendants and the father of many nations, as a matter of fact. And so Abraham was to become fruitful because he did this. It says, verse 5, neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name should be called Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee, and he'll be exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee. That's a big deal. So you see here, he says, you're going to be changed from Abram to Abraham because you're going to be now the fruitful one who's going to bring many nations out of you. Remember, he was childless at this time. So it was a big name change and a big difference and a big change in who he was, because now he's a father of many, 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 many nations. And he was transformed by just changing his name a little by God. Sarah, she got a really good name change. Sarai means contentious. How's that for a name for a woman? Contentious, come here. And and contentious doesn't come except with a rolling pin. And and her name went from contentious, to putting that H on the end, to princess. Isn't that a nice name change? If you're a woman, you like that name change. And and they both got their names changed by God in this chapter. And we see this. Abraham became fruitful because he believed God. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. And he was told you're going to have a child, and he was told go do this thing. And God, Abraham just said, okay, God, I trust you. Sarah had a little more struggle with her faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. It's chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed the Lord and he counted him for righteousness. And so God blessed Abraham, made this great covenant with him, and changed his name. Now, it's interesting about this name change. You notice both of them got an H in their name. And their name is completely changed as part of that. God's name in the Hebrew language is very complicated. And I could preach a whole sermon about the Hebrew language. I'm an expert in Hebrew. It's a fascinating language. The Hebrew language doesn't have vowels like we have. It's a consonant language, basically. And the Hebrew language is, as much as you could say, it's God's language. It's the language that somewhere along the way, that's what God's people spoke. And the language is fascinating because there are so many interesting things where Hebrew, you just change, and there's significant meanings in these changes in the Hebrew. But the way God invented Hebrew, the language, was written in such a way where God had a plan for it. Because God's name in the Hebrew is, we say Jehovah or Yahweh, depending on which way you want to do it. We add vowels because we can't say it. And Jews refuse to say his name, the name Jehovah. They think it's sacred, you can't say it, and it's not Jehovah. God's name, there's a couple different names for God, but the most common one, Jehovah or Yahweh, it's the same name, just how you want to pronounce it and what vowels you want to add to it, is basically YHWH. Yahweh, and that's his name, and it's basically four letters. We can't pronounce that. The Jews say it's sacred, and you cannot say the word, and so there it is. But you notice what's the predominant letter? H. And if you see it in the Hebrew, and if you know fluent Hebrew, you'll realize that God blended their name with his name, and because the way Hebrew is structured, and the way these words were made by God some time past, when you put an H in Abram, you go to very fruitful. When you put an H at the end of Sarah, you all of a sudden go from contentious to a princess. See, when you blend God in to your what you have and God gets involved, it goes from being okay to fruitful. It goes from being bad and contentious to wonderful and fruitful because God got mixed in with your name. God got mixed in with your name. It's very funny. If you ever read the story of the Tower of Babel, let's go back there. It's Genesis. Let me find it. It's chapter, let's see. It's because the name is very important here. Let's see where you can find the Tower of Babel. I should have looked up before we preach on this. Tower of Babel is Genesis and chapter 11. When they originally made it, verse 1, it says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass, they journeyed, they dwelt there, and they said one to another, let's go build something. Verse 4, and they built a city, a tower, who may reach up to heaven, and let us make us a name. And lest you be scattered upon the whole face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see that which they had built. And they said, behold, these people are one, they have one language. And they began to do this thing, and let's go down. God said, let us go down, again, plural, because this is the different name for God, Elohim in the Hebrew. And it's a plural name, which is why it uses the plural pronouns, because it's a trinity. And therefore, God switched the name of it to Babel. Babel. And so we get the word Babel there. But it didn't start off with Babel. It started off with Babel. And it started off. And one, when God just barely changed it at the Tower of Babel, they started out, it meant the gate of God. God changed one letter and it became confusion. Because God knew what they were going to do in the Hebrew, and he made the Hebrew language to change one letter and to change everything. And so it went from the gate of God, where they're going to be like gods and try to be gods and get up to heaven by themselves, to confusion. Because God just changed it, just a millimeter, he changed the name to Babel, and so it was all confused. And so God says the name, the words, the letters, the Hebrew language is amazing, and it's amazing the way it's done like that. And so God changed their name. When the Lord blended his name and put the H in the middle of their name, or in their name, the divine language and God changing their name made it mean that they were going to now be fruitful and a princess instead of contentious. Their life was blessed because they believed God and they're involved with God. So God changed your name to say you are now significant and going to be blessed and have a great life because God changed their name. It wouldn't be bad if God changed your name. If God said, I'm meeting you and changing you. Let's go forward in Genesis chapter 26. See another person get their name changed by God. Genesis and chapter 26. it's chapter 27. Sorry, it's 27 or 26. Chapter 27. And we see a name of a person. His name's Jacob. Verse 36. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he's taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" Jacob's name was supplanter. The name supplanter, as you get this name Jacob, the word means supplant. The word Jacob means supplanter. The word supplanter means to supersede someone by force or treachery. That's quite the name. This is my little son to supersede someone by force or treachery. And that's quite the name. And that's his name. It's Jacob. And he says, isn't he rightly named? He stole my birthright by selling me his chili at a high price. And he stole my blessing by faking like he was me, Esau says. He's treacherous. He's sneaky. He goes and he takes my birthright. He supersedes me and goes in front of me by force or by treachery. He cuts in line. He sneaks. He cheats. And that's him. Well, his name's going to change. And if you go to Genesis 32, by the way, that I wouldn't mind my name being changed if that's what my name went. And that's what he was. His name matched him. His name matched him. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This man was the Lord. And in verse 30 it says, Jacob called the name of that place Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Notice Jacob named the city a certain name. It was important that he name it the name. He named it. They named places, by the way, they named places very carefully. And in the Bible, you'll see that all over. And Jacob, and he wrestled with God. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. So the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Now your name's changed. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob's name changed here from the supplanter to a prince with God. A good name change. A prince with God. Now Jacob's name got changed, not necessarily because he believed God, but because he got alone with God and wrestled with God and prevailed. He didn't quit. He decided to get a blessing from God, and he didn't quit. And God said, I like that. I'm changing your name from supplanter, because you've always gotten your things by illegitimate, sneaky means before. Now you've fought and prevailed and grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't let go and conquered by legitimate strength and determination. And now you're a prince with God and with man, and you're going to be blessed and be used in a mighty way. He got changed because he was changed because he spent time with God and became transformed and became a prince with God. His name was changed because he was transformed into something great after being alone with God. Let's go to the New Testament and look at a name change. Matthew chapter 16. Got a man named Simon. Anybody know who Simon became? Peter. Simon got his name changed by Jesus. And we see that. By the way, some of them weren't always positive. There was a man whose name was Judas. His last name became Betrayer. Jesus added a last name to him, and it wasn't a good one. And God changed his name. And we see that. And we see Simon here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Men say that I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, some, they say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, that means Bar, means son of, Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loosed on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. His name before was Peter. The word was Simon. Simon is a very common name in the Bible, in Bible times, a very common Hebrew name. It means God was heard. Simon means God was heard. And wasn't a bad name, wasn't an evil name, but all of a sudden, his name got changed to something very simple. Rock. That's what it got changed to. His name is Peter. Petros. Rock. And then he says, and upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And everything you bind on earth will be bound on earth, and it will be bound in heaven. You've got great authority now. You're an apostle. You're going to preach Pentecost. You're going to be the first pastor of the first church. And you're going to write scripture. And you're going to be a foundation of this church at the very start. And you're going to have the authority of the church with you. And you're going to be the first pastor here in this first church in Jerusalem. And you're going to be the foundation of this thing. I didn't become the first pope. Okay. However, by the way, after this, he cursed Jesus and denied him. But he said, you're going to become a rock, and you're going to become something solid. You're going to become something great that is built upon. Peter became a rock of the church after confessing his belief in who Jesus was. Peter became the rock of the church after confessing who Jesus was. I'm going to give you three thoughts, and by the way, we could do a lot of names in the Bible. Just off the top of your head, anybody thinking, think, pressure's on? Who else in the Bible can you think of got their name changed? Matthew? Okay, Saul changed his name to Paul. By the way, we don't know anything about that story. We don't know why Saul became Paul. It's not revealed. It just gets switched in Acts 13. Anybody else? Think of anybody else in the Bible got the name changed? Other people did, and you might want to look it up and look up people in the Bible, and you see that. Let me give you just a few thoughts just off this, and then we'll finish up in just one last scripture there in the book of Revelation. Number one, putting the Lord in the center of you makes you amazing. When you become with God in the middle of your life, when you were a fruitless, barrenless, contentious woman, and you were just an honored old man, now you are the father of many nations and a princess, because now God's in. And I want to say this, look up here, girls. I want to say this, when God becomes involved, when God begins to work in your life, when your life is not just you walking through life by yourself, which is most lives, which is most Christian lives. It's God a little bit blessing here and a little bit there. But and God was blessing a little bit here and there with Sarah and Abraham. But when God becomes a center, when God is intertwined, when the Lord says, I'm pleased, and now I'm going to bless your life, put my hand upon your life, you become someone different and someone significant and someone of accomplishment and someone who's going to do great things. See, I want you to understand this. You plus God equals greatness. You by yourself are another human who's going to inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide and then die. You're gonna live, and you're going to breathe, and you're going to live a life, and you'll be fine. But you won't accomplish anything great without God. You'll be a person. You might even be famous, but you won't accomplish anything that matters. With God, you become significant, every one of you. And Sarah and Abraham, they became significant when God came and changed their name and became involved and blended his name and theirs. Number two, believing God changes your identity. I want to understand you're born again. At some point in your life, unless you grew up in an exceptionally good Christian home, which I hope you do, hope you did. But if you didn't, which almost none of us did, how many of you grew up in an exceptionally good Christian home in this room? Okay? Where are my kids? Why aren't you raising your hand? Raise your hand. Okay, there you go. And she was doing this. She'd hold the baby in her lap. Did you raise your hand? You're not raised yet? Okay. I'm changing your name. It was Brooke, now it's Jez. Never mind. But, okay, that was a couple of you, and if my kids were in a good home, they would have been them too. And I think there is maybe 10 of you, the Wongs, who are raised in a good Christian home. And Jeremy's in the house, so it's not that great, but the rest of the home's good. You're raising it, I'm kidding. I need my piano player there. But it was Daniel I'm talking about. But but the rest of you, you know what? At some point in your life, in this path you're walking, when you intersect with God in a significant meeting with God, your direction's changed. And if you're still on the same path that you were going before you met God, and your life's still kind of the same, and you're just, okay, now you go to church, and that's it? That's not significant change. Listen, if you meet a Mack truck, you'll be different. If you meet the God of the universe, your directions change. You are now different. You are now somebody that's been transformed because you met God. Believing God changes your identity. Number three, being with the Lord changes your destiny. Jacob was going to be a supplanter all of his whole life. And sometimes you're just who you are, and your faults and your weaknesses and your cycles and circles continue on and on and on till you get with God and prevail, because Jacob got with God alone. He no longer can manipulate everything, because that was his life cycle, was manipulation, 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 manipulation. He met God, and now he prevailed to become someone differently. Now he's a prince with God, and now he had power with God and man, because he met God. These people were changed when they believed God, when they met God, when they're alone with God. You see the pattern here? Their name was changed because they had a personal great experience with God. One of the great books you might ever read is Great Experience, Deeper Experiences of Great Christians, I think it's called, or Great Experiences of Deeper Christians. It's one of those names there. And it gives an example of many people throughout history who at some section of life went and met God and everything was different from then on. They were significant. And I'm not always just talking about salvation. God was blessing, and God, Abraham believed God and belonged to God a long decades before when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. However, at a certain point, he was with God and God appeared to him. And you're significantly different. You interject the Lord in your life and you find a change of identity, a change of destiny. You might not have your actual physical name changed, but who you are, your identity and your destiny and your future and your purpose and your direction is transformed by meeting God. And it is truly done that way. Let's go back to Revelation. See if I can find some verses here that I'm looking for. Revelation chapter 2. And let me see if I can find it. Let's go with verse 17. It says, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 2:17. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth it, saying he receiveth it." We get those who are overcomers in life as Christians, when they get to heaven, God gives them a white stone, has a new name written on it, it's top secret, eyes only. And only you know it, and it's you and God's pet name. God's got a special name just for overcomers, and he gives them a new name. And Jesus says, "I have a new name in heaven," and those that do that and will know that name. And not everybody will know that new name and special name that he has. And if you go a little farther, and verse 12. "And to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven, out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." You want to know what the new name of Jesus is? I have no idea. But it will be written on overcomers. And some people in heaven won't have Jesus' new name written on them. Only overcomers will. And we see that. And we see that those who overcome get special things, and they get special blessings. They get a special name, and they get these things written down, and God gives them special names. It's just simply, a name is an identity. Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." A good name. I've sat my kids down and told me, my name Byram, my dad's only child that we know of, the name Byram meant nothing. But now it is a good name. Don't ruin it. Because the name means something. When you have a name with God, and when you meet God, maybe on earth you might not change your name to anything else. But when you meet God, your name is your identity. And your identity is transformed. And God changes your identity. Because you experienced him personally and met him and were transformed. I mean, just ask, when was your identity changed? When is your experience, when did you really have an intersection with God? God says, "We're going this way, and I'm making you something great." Because by yourself, with your plain old name, and I mean that as your identity, and your destiny in your life, it's okay. But contentious became princess. And that means that God can really take you a long way when he changes your name. Let's bow for prayer. And Father, we just wanted to preach what you had for us tonight. I don't know the purpose. I don't know how somebody can be affected by it. I don't know what will happen with this message, Lord. It's your message. It's your thoughts. It's clearly a Bible message. Peter confessed you as the Son of God boldly, and you changed his name. Abraham believed you, and and obeyed you, and you changed his name. And you changed Sarah's name, I believe, because of Abraham. And Lord, I just, Jacob wrestled and was alone with you and prevailed in a different way, and you changed his name because he became different. I pray tonight we'd be changed. And I pray tonight that the name change, identity, whatever your purpose, the message was, I pray that it would be done so we could become significant people because we're different and because we have a new capability and because we can do things we never would have been able to do, and we can prevail, and we can be a father of many nations, and we can be a rock upon which a church is built, and we can be amazing things because you change our identity. Lord, I think I'm so small, so insignificant, and so purposeless without you. And I pray all of us would find significance and purpose and destiny and truth and direction and vision and greatness because we have had you change our identity and who we are into something great by adding and taking away and changing and being involved, whatever the purpose is, Lord. Whatever you have for each one of us, we pray you'd help us tonight to learn it and have it. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.